chapter 4, Attitude to New Light. Maintaining truth not to preclude new light. It is a fact that we have the truth and we must hold with tenacity to the positions that cannot be shaken. But we must not look with suspicion upon any new light which God may send and say, really, we cannot see that we need any more light than the old truth which we have hitherto received and in which we are settled. While we hold to this position, the testimony of the true witness applies to our cases its rebuke. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Those who feel rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing are in a condition of blindness as to their true condition before God, and they know it not. Review and Herald, August 7, 1894. Led of God, but not infallible. We must not think, well, we have all the truth, we understand the main pillars of our faith, and we must rest on this knowledge. The truth is an advancing truth, and we must walk in the increasing light. A brother asked, Sister White, do you think we must understand the truth for ourselves? Why can we not take the truths that others have gathered together and believe them because they have investigated the subjects, and then we shall be free to go on without the taxing of the powers of the mind in the investigation of all these subjects? Do you not think that these men who have brought out the truth in the past were inspired of God? I dare not say they were not led of God, for Christ leads into all truth, but when it comes to inspiration in the fullest sense of the word, I answer no. I believe that God has given them a work to do, but if they are not fully consecrated to God at all times, they will weave self and their peculiar traits of character into what they are doing, and will put their mold upon the work, and fashion men in religious experience after their own pattern. It is dangerous for us to make flesh our arm. We should lean upon the arm of infinite power. God has been revealing this to us for years. We must have living faith in our hearts and reach out for larger knowledge and more advanced light. Review and Herald, March 25, 1890. Increased light to shine. A spirit of Pharisaism has been coming in among the people who claim to believe the truth for these last days. They are self-satisfied. They have said, we have the truth. There is no more light for the people of God, but we are not safe when we take a position that we will not accept anything else than that upon which we have settled as truth. We should take the Bible and investigate it closely for ourselves. We should dig in the mine of God's word for truth. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Some have asked me if I thought there was any more light for the people of God. Our minds have become so narrow that we do not seem to understand that the Lord has a mighty work to do for us. Increasing light is to shine upon us, for the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Review and Herald, June 18, 1889. Many gems yet to be discovered. New light will ever be revealed on the word of God to him who is in living connection with the Son of Righteousness. Let no one come to the conclusion that there is no more truth to be revealed. The diligent, prayerful seeker for truth will find precious rays of light yet to shine forth from the Word of God. Many gems are yet scattered that are to be gathered together to become the property of the remnant people of God. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 34. Investigation of Doctrine. There is no excuse for anyone in taking the position that there is no more truth to be revealed and that all our expositions of Scripture are without an error. The fact that certain doctrines have been held as truth for many years by our people is not a proof that our ideas are infallible. Age will not make error into truth, and truth can afford to be fair. No true doctrine will lose anything by close investigation. We are living in perilous times, and it does not become us to accept everything claimed to be truth without examining it thoroughly. Neither can we afford to reject anything that bears the fruits of the Spirit of God. But we should be teachable, meek, and lowly of heart. There are those who oppose everything that is not in accordance with their own ideas, and by so doing they endanger their eternal interests, as verily as did the Jewish nation in their rejection of Christ. The Lord designs that our opinions shall be put to the test, that we may see the necessity of closely examining the living oracles to see whether or not we are in the faith. Many who claim to believe the truth have settled down at their ease, saying, I am enriched I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Review and Herald, December 20, 1892. How to search the Scriptures. How shall we search the Scriptures? Shall we drive our stakes of doctrine one after another and then try to make all Scripture meet our established opinions? Or shall we take our ideas and views to the Scriptures and measure our theories on every side by the Scriptures of truth? Many who read and even teach the Bible do not comprehend the precious truth they are teaching or studying. Men entertain errors when the truth is clearly marked out, and if they would but bring their doctrines to the Word of God and not read the Word of God in the light of their doctrines to prove their ideas right, they would not walk in darkness and blindness or cherish error. Many give the words of Scriptures a meaning that suits their own opinions, and they mislead themselves and deceive others by their misinterpretations of God's Word. As we take up the study of God's Word, we should do so with humble hearts. All selfishness, all love of originality should be laid aside. Long-cherished opinions must not be regarded as infallible. It was the unwillingness of the Jews to give up their long-established traditions that proved their ruin. They were determined not to see any flaw in their own opinions or in their expositions of the Scriptures. But however long men may have entertained certain views, if they are not clearly sustained by the written word, they should be discarded. Those who sincerely desire truth will not be reluctant to lay open their positions for investigation and criticism, and will not be annoyed if their opinions and ideas are crossed. This was the spirit cherished among us 40 years ago. We have many lessons to learn and many, many to unlearn. God and heaven alone are infallible. Those who think that they will never have to give up a cherished view, never have occasion to change an opinion, will be disappointed. As long as we hold to our own ideas and opinions with determined persistency, we cannot have the unity for which Christ prayed. Could those who are self-sufficient see how the universe of God regards them? Could they see themselves as God sees them? They would behold such weakness, such manifest want of wisdom, that they would cry to the Lord to be their righteousness. They would want to hide from His sight. The Apostle says, "You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." When our schemes and our plans have been broken, when men who have depended upon our judgment conclude the Lord would lead them to act and judge for themselves, we should not feel like censuring and like exercising arbitrary authority to compel them to receive our ideas. Those who are placed in authority should constantly cultivate self-control. Would be guardians of the doctrines. The rebuke of the Lord will be upon those who would be guardians of the doctrine, who would bar the way that greater light shall not come to the people. A great work is to be done, and God sees that our leading men have need of greater light, that they may unite harmoniously with the messengers whom He shall send to accomplish the work that He designs they should. The Lord has raised up messengers and endued them with His Spirit, and has said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Let no one run the risk of interposing himself between the people and the message of heaven. The message of God will come to the people, and if there were no voice among men to give it, the very stones would cry out. I call upon every minister to seek the Lord, to put away pride, to put away strife after supremacy, and humble the heart before God. It is a coldness of heart, the unbelief of those who ought to have faith, that keeps the churches in feebleness. Review and Herald, July 26, 1892.
A sign of growth. Whenever the people of God are growing in grace, they will be constantly obtaining a clear understanding of His Word. They will discern new light and beauty in its sacred truths. This has been true in the history of the church in all ages, and thus it will continue to the end. But as real spiritual life declines, it has ever been the tendency to cease to advance in the knowledge of the truth. Men rest satisfied with the light already received from God's Word and discourage any further investigation of the Scriptures. They become conservative and seek to avoid discussion. The fact that there is no controversy or agitation among God's people should not be regarded as conclusive evidence that they are holding fast to sound doctrine. There is reason to fear that they may not be clearly discriminating between truth and error when no new questions are started by investigation of the Scriptures, when no difference of opinion arises which will set men to searching the Bible for themselves to be sure that they know they have the truth. There will be many now, as in ancient times, who hold to tradition and worship they know not what. I have been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of present truth do not know what they believe. They do not understand the evidences of their faith. They have no just appreciation of the work for the present time. When the time of trial shall come, there are men now preaching to others who will find upon examining the positions they hold that there are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason. Until thus tested, they knew not their great ignorance. And there are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand what they believe, but until controversy arises, they do not know their own weakness. When separated from those of like faith and compelled to stand singly and alone to explain their belief, they will be surprised to see how confused are their ideas of what they had accepted as truth. Certain it is that there has been among us a departure from the living God and a turning to men, putting human wisdom in the place of divine. God will arouse His people. If other means fail, heresies will come in among them, which will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat. The Lord calls upon all who believe His word to awake out of sleep. Precious light has come, appropriate for this time. It is Bible truth showing the perils that are right upon us. This light should lead us to a diligent study of the Scriptures and a most critical examination of the positions which we hold. God would have all the bearings and positions of truth thoroughly and perseveringly searched with prayer and fasting. Believers are not to rest in suppositions and ill-defined ideas of what constitutes truth. Their faith must be firmly grounded upon the Word of God, so that when the testing time shall come, and they are brought before councils to answer for their faith, they may be able to give a reason for the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. Agitate, agitate, agitate. The subjects which we present to the world must be to us a living reality. It is important that in defending the doctrines which we consider fundamental articles of faith, we shall never allow ourselves to employ arguments that are not wholly sound. These may avail to silence an opposer, but they do not honor the truth. We should present sound arguments that will not only silence our opponents, but will bear the closest and most searching scrutiny. Continual search for greater light. Whatever may be man's intellectual advancement, let him not for a moment think that there is no need of thorough and continuous searching of the Scriptures for greater light. As a people, we are called individually to be students of prophecy. We must watch with earnestness that we may discern any ray of light which God shall present to us. We are to catch the first gleamings of truth, and through powerful study, clearer light may be obtained which can be brought before us. When God's people are at ease and satisfied with their present enlightenment, we may be sure that He will not favor them. It is His will that they should ever be moving forward to receive the increased and ever-increasing light which is shining for them. The present attitude of the church is not pleasing to God. There has come in a self-confidence that has led them to feel no necessity for more truth and greater light. We are living in a time when Satan is at work on the right hand and on the left, before and behind us. And yet, as a people, we are asleep. God wills that a voice shall be heard arousing His people to action. Gospel Workers, pages 297 to 300. Right Spirit Essential. Brethren, you must sink the shaft deep in the mine of truth. You may question matters with yourselves and with one another if you only do it in the right spirit, but too often self is large, and as soon as investigation begins, an unchristian spirit is manifested. This is just what Satan delights in, but we should come with a humble heart to know for ourselves what is truth. The time is coming when we shall be separated and scattered, and each one of us will have to stand without the privilege of communion with those of like precious faith. And how can you stand unless God is by your side, and you know that He is leading and guiding you? Whenever we come to investigate Bible truth, the Master of Assemblies is with us. The Lord does not leave the ship one moment to be steered by ignorant pilots. We may receive our orders from the Captain of our salvation. Review and Herald, March 25, 1890.